Scripture reading this morning will be taken from Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 31 through 34. Luke 22, verses 31 through 34. We'll be reading from the King James Version this morning. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. I want us to take a close look this morning at Peter. Here the Lord speaking to Peter lets Peter know that although in his mind, and I'm sure that Peter meant every word of what he said, that he was ready to go to prison with Christ, that he was ready even to die with or for Christ, there's no doubt in my mind that he was sincere in that. That there was no doubt in Peter's own mind that he would do just that. But Christ told him that he was going to deny him three times. Deny that he even knew him before the cock would crow twice. But I want us to notice specifically what Jesus said to him before that. Jesus said, I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Now wait a minute. Wasn't Peter already converted? Hadn't he been a follower of John? And then when Andrew found Jesus, he went to Peter and said, we have found the Messiah. And so Peter went from there to go and follow Christ. Was it not to Peter that Jesus said, come and I will make you fishers of men? Was Peter not already converted? Let's look at that. Now, I want us to notice Peter's conversion. In John chapter 21, 15 to 22, after Jesus has died and has resurrected from the grave, he asked Peter three times, lovest thou me? What does that word love mean? We'll get into that a little bit later, but that's part of Peter's conversion. He has to come to understand what it really meant to love Jesus. What does that love mean? As a noun, we talk about love, and sometimes a father may say to his daughter or son, give daddy a love, or meaning a hug and a kiss and something like that. And more common usage, we may say that I love a certain food, or I love my dog, or me in particular, I love the St. Louis Cardinals, or, I love my children, I love my wife, I love God. How does the Bible use that word? Oftentimes when we see the word love in the Bible, it's the Greek word phileo. Of course, we know that the city of Philadelphia comes from that word, and it means brotherly love, city of brotherly love, right? More specifically, it means tender affection or a strong kinship. This word is used in John 3 and verse 35. We read, the Father loveth the Son. That strong kinship, that tender affection. Same in John 5 and verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things. In John 14 and verse 21, we read, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved, phileo, of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. The word phileo. God loves those who love his Son. But then there's the word agape. Unconditional love. A sacrificial type of love. A love that puts others before self. Having a cause bigger than oneself. In John 13 and verse 23, we read concerning John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He loved John unconditionally, John says there. Agape. In Mark 10 and verse 21, we read there the rich young ruler coming unto Jesus, and Jesus seeing him says that he, beholding him, Jesus beholding him, loved him, agape, loved him unconditionally. That's love. Now, we'll get to that again in a minute. What about Peter's conversion? You know, when we look at Peter, we may think sometimes, you know, some folks just never learn. Don't we get that from Peter a little bit? He's always letting his mouth get out in front of him, letting his mouth get him in trouble. And there's no, as I said a moment ago, there's no doubt that everything that came out of Peter's mouth, there's no doubt in my mind that he meant them. He was sincere when he said them. But it seems that sometimes he didn't think necessarily of all the consequences, did he? In John 13, verses 1 through 9, I want you to turn there with me. John 13, verses 1 through 9. Here we have the what you might call the foot washing episode with Peter. Jesus is very near going to the cross. We read beginning of verse 1 in John chapter 13. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. This is kind of reminiscent to Matthew 3 and verse 14, isn't it? Where Jesus goes to John the baptizer, and he goes to be baptized of him, and John in Matthew 13 and verse 14 forbade him, the scripture says. In other words, I'm not going to do it because, as John said, I have need to be baptized of you. And you come to be baptized of me. Then Jesus, obviously, changed his mind using Scripture. Let us do it now because it becometh all righteousness. Now, Peter here, he's astonished. Lord, dost thou wash my feet? You can kind of hear that in Peter's voice there, can't you? In your mind, Peter can't believe what he's seeing. Here is God of the flesh. Here is his master, his teacher. Should it not be the other way around? Should Peter not be the one washing the feet of Jesus? That's how Peter's looking at it. I'm not worthy for you to wash my feet. But Jesus responds, and he goes on to say, verse 8, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Then when Jesus tells him, If I don't wash you, you'd have no part with me, what's Peter's response? Don't stop with my feet. Make all of me yours. I give myself wholly to you. But then we go on in John chapter 13. If you want to be verse 36 through 38, we'll go down a little bit further. John 13, 36-38. And we read there, Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered and said, Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Peter said unto him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I would lay down my life for thy sake. Notice the answer of Jesus. Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Did Peter not mean what he said there? Absolutely he did. Absolutely. You think about Peter in the garden. Is Peter ready to give his life in the garden? Yeah, he was. Drew his sword, didn't he? Trying to cut off the head of one of the servants that came to arrest Jesus, he missed and cut off his ear. He was ready to give his life. He was sincere in that. He didn't fully understand that, though. He didn't fully understand what Jesus was about to undergo. In Matthew 16, 21-23, Peter there rebukes Jesus. And in Matthew 16, he says there, from that time forth began Jesus to show his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. But then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But again, Jesus puts him in it, tells him again, Peter, you need to slow down. You need to think about what you're saying. Think about all the consequences that go with it. He says unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Peter didn't fully comprehend what Jesus was talking about, did he? And then in Matthew 17, just a few verses later, verses 1 through 6, you see the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John, bringeth them up into an high mountain, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as a light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here how many tabernacles? Three. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. Peter again is told he needs to think about what he's really saying. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Not Moses, not Elias, but Jesus the Christ. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Here we see Peter time and time and time and time again speaking before he really fully realized the gravity of the situation. I want you to turn with me now to Mark 14. Mark 14. Beginning in verse 27. Mark 14, beginning in verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. But he spake the more vehemently, If I should die with thee, Peter says, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. Here at this time only the 11 are present. Judas has left to go and get the people that are going to come and arrest Jesus. All ye, Jesus says, shall be offended. In all the time that Peter had spent with Jesus, had he not learned who he was talking to? Obviously not, had he? Had he not learned that when Jesus said that something was going to happen, it was going to happen regardless of what anybody else thought on the matter? He hadn't learned that yet. And as a result, we realize that Peter has not yet been fully converted, has he? He hasn't come to the full realization that Jesus is God of the flesh. He hasn't come to the full realization that Jesus is the Messiah. Doesn't seem to be anyway. Peter says in verse 29, Although all these here shall be offended, yet not I. Go back to Luke 22 and verse 32. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Peter, when you fully realize who I am and what I'm doing, you strengthen your brethren. Peter says in verse 31, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. John 13:37, I will lay down my life for thy sake. But then notice at the end there of Mark 14 and verse 31, likewise also said they all. Here were Peter and the other 10 saying that they would not deny Christ, as if they were compelled by Peter's statement. And yet, what do we find that very night? They were scattered like sheep. We read of Peter's denial of Jesus Christ in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and John 18. We read in Luke 22:54-62 that at the end, when finally the cock crew the second time, and Peter had just denied Jesus for the third time, that when the cock crew, Jesus turned and he looked upon Peter. Looked him square in the eye. Peter remembered then what Jesus had said. And he ran out and he wept bitterly. Maybe now Peter has come to the realization of who Jesus really is. But it doesn't seem so. For the next time that we see Peter, even after the resurrection of Jesus, what is he doing? He's fishing. Went back to what he knew. Went back to his livelihood. Still didn't understand, did he? Turn with me now to John 21. John 21. This is after the resurrection of Jesus. He's already died. He's been put in the grave. He's risen again the third day. He's now eating with them. Verse 15, beginning in John 21, beginning in verse 15, we read, so when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Now what Jesus says there is agape. Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Now, Peter beforehand, up until this point, what had been his response? Absolutely, I'll die for you. No conditions whatsoever. I would go to prison. I will die for you. Peter's a little more reserved now, isn't he? Because Peter's response, notice here. He said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. You know what's significant there? So Peter doesn't use the same word that Jesus used. Jesus said, Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Peter says, Lord, I have a strong affection for you. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter, do you love me unconditionally? Peter's response, he saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo, I love you with a strong affection. I love you like a brother. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me with a strong affection? Jesus finally changed the word. He said, do you phileo me? And of course, Peter's response, being grieved now, because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Peter's finally getting the message, isn't he? Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I phileo you. I love you with that strong affection. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. When we look at Peter, and we see his conversion bit by bit, we realize, friends, that true conversion is an ongoing process. Here was Peter, not really knowing what's going on, not really understanding some of the things that he was saying himself, although he was sincere. He had not yet truly been converted. But then finally, after Jesus talked to him in John 21, at Jesus' final demand to follow him, who do we see preaching the first gospel sermon to both Jew and Gentile in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10? It's Peter. He finally came full circle. He was finally fully converted. Until we read Galatians chapter 2. They're being carried away with the Judaizing teachers. In Galatians 2, 11 through 14, we read there that Paul had to rebuke him to the face. He rebuked him publicly. But then in 1 and 2 Peter, we see that Peter, there authored two New Testament books as an apostle and an elder. There's another lesson there to be learned too. How did Peter react after denying Christ? Did he react as Judas did? Or did he repent with godly sorrow? Godly sorrow, wasn't it? He ended up becoming a faithful gospel preacher, an apostle, and an elder. We see a proper response from Peter when he knows he's done wrong. We see it again as he writes in 2 Peter 3 and verse 15. He referred to Paul, the very one that withstood him to the face, the very one that rebuked him publicly. Can you imagine how humiliated that Peter must have felt? Here was Paul. He had not walked with Jesus as Peter had. He had not been there when Jesus was dying upon the cross. He didn't have that relationship that Jesus had, and yet here is this man rebuking him to the face. Peter didn't say, don't you know who I am? Don't you know I'm the one that preached the first gospel sermon on Pentecost? Don't you know that are my words that are recorded there? Don't you know that I'm the one that first took the gospel to the Gentiles? I'm the first one that did that? It's not Peter's response, is it? Peter refers to Paul as a beloved brother and refers to his writings as being inspired. Friends, we learn another lesson from Peter, that if one is going to be truly converted, he needs to have the proper response to being rebuked, doesn't he? He needs to repent with godly sorrow, not with resentment. When we look at Peter's conversion, friends, we may need to learn to be patient with one another. Because true conversion is an ongoing process. And we see that in Peter's life. How patient was Jesus with Peter? Friends, ought we not so to be with one another? And understand that everyone is at a different place in their conversion process, so to speak. That as Peter did in Galatians chapter 2, every once in a while someone's going to stumble. And they need to be corrected. And friends, when it happens to be me that has stumbled and needs to be corrected, I hope and pray that I'll respond as Peter did. Let's put away our Bibles. Let's take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Are you converted this morning? Do you love Jesus? As Jesus asked the question of Peter, he's asking of us this morning. He's asking me, Josh, do you love me more than these? What will my response be? What will your response be? Have you been converted? Friend, if you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the answer is no. But do you love Jesus? Because He loved you enough to give His life for you. He loved you enough to lay down His life for Peter. He loved you enough that He gave His life a ransom for all, as we talked about in Bible class this morning. Would you obey His gospel? Would you show your love for Jesus Christ? For He told His disciples in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in His word, we find those commandments as hearing His word, believing in Jesus, that He is who He said that He is, that He came to this earth and bled and died on the cross for the remission of our sins. We see in those commandments that one must repent of sin, confess Him before men, and be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Would you do those things this morning? Would you put Christ on in baptism? Friend, are you here this morning having done those things? Are you truly converted? Have you fallen short? And friend, do you need to make things right in a public manner? Whatever your need may be, whether it's to obey the gospel, to repent of sin, or friend, if it's just that you need the prayers of the church, we ask that you come while we stand and while we sing.